Good morning, and a very warm welcome to any newcomers here, anybody who's visiting or worshipping with us for the first time. It's great to have you with us, excuse me, and we hope you will join us in the Mayo Hall behind the church here for a cup of tea or coffee after the service. And then the day continues with interactive worship at 11:30, and then our evening service of reflective worship at 6:30. First of all, the coming week, on Thursday evening at 7:30, Ken Bartlett and Anne McFarlane will be leading the first of a series of three sessions exploring our thinking about mortality. Now, you may have seen in the service paper, on one page it says that that the session's here at the church. On another, it says that it's at Anne's. It's here at the church, okay? So 7:30 here at the church on Thursday. And then on Saturday at 10:30, Pat Brooks is launching another series of Christianity Explored. Looking ahead, a reminder that Gillian Carnegie is sleeping rough here in Kingston next Saturday, the 29th of January. Is she here this morning? It's on behalf of the young people who are helped by, disadvantaged young people who are helped by YMCA. Do please get in touch with Gillian between now and Saturday if you would like to sponsor her. And another further reminder, and that is at 7 for 7:30 on Tuesday, the 1st of February, that's Tuesday week, John Lewis will be holding a training session here at the church on welcoming. This, of course, is something which is very close to our hearts, so if you're able to come along, you'd be very welcome. As you would as well, after the 11:30 service this morning, when a group of people from the church here are going out to lunch to the Chinese buffet. If you'd like to join them, as I said, all are welcome. And finally, if you have a tent you would like to get rid of, a spare tent, please do say so after the service. Please let Leslie or me know, because we have a very good home for it. Thank you.
3:34. June Martin's not here, is she? Good. We're going to... June is becoming a church member, not the next Sunday, but the Sunday after. And she's particularly asked for a hymn that I don't think we know very well. Tony agrees with me. You might know Walking in a Garden at the Close of Day. Hands in the air if you know it. Great. You can lead us. Tony, would you like to play it, please? It's 3:34 if you use paper. Right, so what we're going to do with it is, could you just stay seated, and we'll just fumble our ways through it, and at the end of it you think, didn't know that very well. That's fine, because we'll be practicing and practicing and practicing. So just stay seated, and as you get it, la it, and by the time we get to the third verse, we'll have a better idea. So take it from the top. So as I hear it, I think the only place that we have a trouble with that is the third line off the bottom. Yes? Could you play that, Tony? Aha! Shall we try just the last verse again, please? What?
Fifth line, third.
Yeah. Thank you. Let us join together to worship God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Therefore, I will fear no one. Angel voices ever singing, we join with them.
Thank you.
Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Morning is broken, full of surprises and freshness. The sun peeps through the faint streaks of light, and trees shape the horizon full of promise. God is our saving presence, and fear is conquered. Joggers and dog walkers make their regular run. Familiar town noises rise like incense, and the traffic and the people and the vehicles sound their familiar hum. And God is our saving presence and will shelter us from evil. A new day has dawned, a gift from God, calling us to watchfulness and to purpose, to look for peace, for strength, for hope beyond the horizon. God is our strength. In God's presence, we are sustained. God, the maker of life and death, we confess to you that we have allowed our fears to curtail our lives. Sometimes we cannot believe what you are. We have made our lives small, tried to keep it all safe. Lord, may we find wisdom through trusting. And in order to trust you, may we grasp more fully the persistent fearlessness of your love for us. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, O God, for now and forever. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been glancing at John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus and the conversation that went on after that. And then we have these two people who have been followers of John the Baptist, and Jesus calls them to be his followers. The big question for all of us is, who do you follow? But there might well be other people, there might well be other things. Right. Okay, so I might have casually mentioned once or twice, I am a follower of Newcastle United Football Club. You might have heard that mentioned once or twice. I'm not sad, I'm strong and powerful. Anyway, unlike my football team. Right, now, what does it mean to be a follower of Newcastle United Football Club? Well, it might mean that you go to the matches. It might mean that you have a season ticket. It might mean that you go to the home and the away matches, which means that when somebody says to you, I'm getting married, and you think, please God, let it be at the beginning of August, please God, don't let it be. Yes? It might mean, being a follower of Newcastle, that you buy all the clothes. And when I say all the clothes, I mean all the clothes. It might mean that you are a shareholder. It might mean that you spend a lot of your leisure time giving your money to the club. Right? All as a follower of Newcastle United. All relatively wholesome. A bit bonkers, but relatively wholesome. But it might mean that you sing abusive chants about other people. Not humorous abusive chants, but really, really, really hardcore. It might mean that you get involved in violence. When you are a follower, that does not mean that you don't have to think in your head, what does this actually mean in terms of the way that I behave? When you're a follower of Jesus, it impacts on every single minute of your day. When do you get up? What are you eating for your breakfast? Who are you spending your time with? Where is your money going? How are you using your time? What are you watching on the television? What are you not watching? Being a follower of Jesus also means that you're not on your own. I think Jesus would mind very much if you watched Manchester United. I think Jesus would go, turn that off. So when you are a follower of Jesus, it involves all of your life, all the choices that you make, and always you know that he is with you. We're going to sing. Christ be our light. Okay, I'll keep going. The first reading, which is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 8, the prophet has said that the Assyrians are going to come. They're going to come in judgment. They are the instrument of God. They're going to sweep over the land. They're going to bring deprivation, gloom, and anguish. And then, in chapter 9, the good news, a news of deliverance that the northern tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, which have been devastated, good things are coming. Derek Windsor will read this passage to us.
So, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. The future king. The land of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali was once disgraced, but the future king will bring honor to this region. From the Mediterranean eastwards to the land on the other side of Jordan and even to Galilee itself, that's where foreigners live. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn, or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them, and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that opposed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago.
It seems that in the town of Corinth, the church had got itself divided between those who were the supporters of the church founder, Paul, or the other apostle, Cephas, or the Christ group, or the great preacher, Apollos. What is it that holds these people together? Katie Frost will read this passage to us.
By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I appeal to all of you, my brothers and sisters, to agree in what you say, so that there will be no divisions among you. Be completely united with only one thought and one purpose. For some people from Chloe's family have told me quite plainly, my friends, that there are quarrels among you. Let me put it this way. Each one of you says something different. One says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Peter. And another, I follow Christ. Christ has been divided into groups. Was it Paul who died on the cross for you? Were you baptized as Paul's disciples? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. No one can say then that you were baptized as my disciples. Oh, yes, I also baptized Stephas and his family, but I can't remember whether I baptized anyone else. Christ did not send me to baptize. He sent me to tell the good news and to tell it without using the language of human wisdom, in order to make sure that Christ's death on the cross is not robbed of its power. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, but for us who are being saved, it is God's power.
The writer of the Gospel according to Matthew has a particular emphasis for Jewish Christians, and is interested always in linking up the Old Testament with the New. And here he does just that. Olive Springham will read this passage to us.
From St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went away to Galilee. He did not stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done to make what the prophet Isaiah had said come true. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message. Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch people." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom, and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness.
Thank you. I want to look at the three texts in, well, not much detail really, but and then look at what I see as being the thread that holds them together. The passage from Isaiah is a message to people who are in exile. The method of the Babylonians was they arrived in a place, they didn't mess around imposing order on the place, they just took the people, the quality people, and moved them to another place and had them as slaves. Sorted. End of problems. So these people who are in exile, with all the trauma of being away from their land, deported, with all the darkness and bleakness of that sorrow. And the message is, in that darkness, light is going to shine. Even though it looks as dark as is possible for it to look, light is going to shine. And then from the The Matthew passage, when I hear that little verse, it just strikes me as just really sad. I don't know why it does, it just felt really poignant. When he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus withdrew to Galilee. This was a turning point, yet another turning point for Jesus. The gas is beginning to be turned up. The carefree days, for the bulk of Jesus' life, those days are over. Those days that we know very, very, virtually nothing about, those days are behind him now, and he's moving into a difficult phase. So now it starts. He's made the decision somehow, some way. He's been baptized. He's withdrawn into the desert. He's wrestled, however you understand these words, wrestled with the devil to work out. And now, John, who has baptized him, is gone. On we go. Time for people to know that the light shines, thinks Jesus. For what else does the kingdom of heaven mean? People who think that the darkness has got the upper hand, they are wrong. The light shines in the darkness. That's the end of it. And then you've got that passage, the 1 Corinthians passage, all about the disunity and the disharmony in the early church. There will always be divisions in churches. Why? Because churches are full of people, and if you're in the world of that which is your passion, that which drives you, then what one person thinks is a really good idea, another person thinks is really rubbish. And people hold their passions and they argue backwards and forwards because they want to discern where God is calling. All of that is good news. Because it's driven by people's desire to do things better, to be better for themselves as individuals and also for their community. All of that is good. It's not weakness. It's not weakness. It's not a problem. It's a strength. You know, there are things I don't care about. I know you can't believe it, but it's true. I just couldn't kill it. Just carrots or parsnips. Don't care. Yeah, couldn't care. Should we watch this, watch that? Quite often, I don't care. I just don't care. But there are things, and I know this again is a shock to you, that I care very much about. Welcome or not welcome. Ding, 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 ding. Use of building, shut up building. Ding, 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 ding. No, there are some real humdingers. And the debate about how we do things and how we make things happen, where there is conflict, it's not a bad sign. However, this passage is indicative that there are places where there's division and people have lost the plot. I'm for Apollos. I'm for Paul. I'm for Peter. I'm one of the Christ party. That's just silly. Where people have decided that they will say that their brand of the faith is better than their brother and sister in Christ's brand of the faith. You can be different from somebody and still be okay. You can be different from somebody as a Christian and still be a Christian. Do you know what? Quakers and Roman Catholics are Christians. Baptists and Methodists and Anglicans are Christians. They're different from us. They organize themselves in different ways. But we can say, that's okay. Rocks your boat, doesn't rock mine, but that's, you know, it's fine. Rolling it together, it's good. Because the eyes are the big thing being that which Jesus was bringing in, the kingdom of heaven, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So even in the place where you would expect there to be light, there is darkness. In the early church, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I always think the early church, most, well, no, that's not just me, loads of people think early church, God must have been so much easier for them. There are people around who knew Jesus, who, you know, met him. Why can they, how is it they can't get themselves ordered? Well, some reason they couldn't. Even in the early church, there's that darkness of disunity, disharmony, disobedience, rubbish behavior. I'm for Apollos, I'm for Paul. Competitive church stuff. It is not good. Don't want to be a part of it. And it's not to say that the church must be about me and my evangelical or me and my liberal mate. It's not how it is. So, the great thing about being a Christian in Kingston is that there are loads and loads of things going on where we're all working together. I mean, it is fantastic. So we have Kingston Churches Housing Association, Kingston Churches Action on Homelessness. We have the work that is the night shelter, which we all do together. We have, which also will lead to the sleepover, which will happen out in the Memorial Garden next Saturday. We've got the borough-wide work that goes on through the YMCA in their bases in Kingston, Surbiton, Hampton. We've got Christian Aid, of course. We've got street pastors. Yes, it's there. We've got the street pastors. We've got Oxygen, which is a borough-wide youth work. So there's all these different things where Christians have thought, right, there's a problem. I might not agree with all of your theology, but there's a problem, and we can work together and we can crack on and get this thing sorted. So I was at a meeting this week where we were just chewing this all round, representatives of a number of charities, Christian charities in the borough, and also churches in the borough, just working out how we can make sure that we work together. We don't unnecessarily duplicate work because there are things that need to be sorted out. We can all feel the sense that there's going to be more and more calls upon us in the churches. And with the economic climate, the cuts, we're going to be the ones that are going to be at the front line of this. And how can we work together on the whole issues of food banks and debt counselling and those sorts of things, helping people to get back into work? How can we work together? Which is just great. We don't have the resources to fight each other. We know that there's too much that needs to be done. And we also know that unity is close to the heart of God. So Jesus preaches, repent, turn around, turn your eyes away from your little bit of the kingdom. Turn around. But it doesn't mean that when Jesus calls the disciples to follow, that he's saying, it's all going to be fine and dandy. And it doesn't mean that when the message comes in, that the light will shine in the darkness, that their lives were easy. These are people who are in exile. These are people who are slaves. They must have thought that life was all about darkness. And the message of the prophet is, it looks like darkness, but let me tell you this. The darkness is not going to have the upper hand. The amazing thing is don't really know how to phrase this, actually. I've wrestled all week with it. But I'll just say the other bit, and you can make the link. There's loads and loads of writings, reflections, prayers, teaching that people have done as a result of the Holocaust. Really, really strong, powerful, inspiring things that people have brought to the lives of all of us from the darkest of places. This was found on a piece of wrapping paper beside the body of a dead child at Ravensbrück concentration camp. Found on a piece of wrapping paper beside the body of a dead child. O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted upon us. Remember the fruits we have brought thanks to this suffering. Our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart, which has grown out of all of this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness. That is light in the darkest of places. How amazingly generous is that light in that darkness? There are situations that look like they are the darkest of dark, but actually, when you look back on your life, you can reflect that they have been the most productive. That's not to say that God engineers it. I need to make that quite clear. But it is to say that it might look like complete bleakness, so the news is this. You can know the light of Christ even in the worst of situations. That does not mean that to be a follower of Jesus, to be a human being, that life is going to be light and to be easy. It is not. So when Jesus says to the disciples, "Come with me," he's not saying, "Let's go to the pictures. Let's have a glass of wine and play some cards." He's saying, "Come with me and let us together be part of something that will turn the world upside down." And what he knows, what they don't know, is he's heading off into conflict, which will surely lead to death for him. Maybe for them, and also to resurrection, which leads for us to life in all its fullness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know what darkness is. Give us your light in the middle of it. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing God of Grace and God of Glory. Let us join to pray. Let us pray. Now, living God, we pray for all those who feel that their life is darkness. For those who are overwhelmed by the burden of care for another person. Anxious for their future, unable to cope. For those who are ill, for those who are forced to leave their homelands because of their ideologies. For those who are forced to sell their bodies to survive. or because of their addictions. For those denied their freedom and dignity because of systems and authorities. For those who see no way out. Lord Jesus, bring your justice, bring your love in intimacy and companionship. Bring your love in those who are doing their job well. Bring your love to us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. Bless this money that we bring. Bless the ways that we have earned it. Bless the money we keep. May it all be used for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is number 603, which is Lord for the Years, which is for Margaret Golding, who's had a bit of a traumatic start of the day, really. So we join to sing Lord for the Years.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. And the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those whom we love, for now, forever. Amen.